निकुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस सुरी विजयाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस अबाउट फ्रॉम वृंद भक्तिवान गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन राम की जय श्री गंगमाई की जय श्री जमुनामाई की जय श्रीमती तुलसी देवी महारानी की जय His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishingadeva Ki Jai, Iskanyura Manreti Dham Ki Jai, Nite Gautri Manandi, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri 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 Manandi. Oh. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So, Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text Number 5. Ula kod bina sarvango,
ula kod bina sarvango,
munchani ladrasa suchaha,
munchani ladrasa.
Purnarto lakshitastena,
purnarto lakshitastena,
snehas par prasara samputaha,
snehas par samputaha,
pulako bina sarvango,
pulako bina sarvango,
munchani ladrasa suchaha,
munchani ladrasa.
Purnarto lakshitastena,
purnarto lakshitastena,
sneha prasara samplutaha,
sneha prasara samplutaha,
kula kod bina sarvango,
kula kod bina sarvango,
munchan nila drasasuchaha,
munchan nila drasasuchaha,
purnarto lakshitastena, sneha prasara samplutaha,
sneha prasara samplutaha,
ulako bina sarvango,
ulako bina sarvango,
munchani ladrasa suchaha,
munchani ladrasa suchaha,
prasara samputaha, ulako bina sarvango, munchani ladrasa suchaha, purnarto lakshitastena, sneha prasara samputaha, kula kodina sarvango,
munchan
mila drusha suchaha,
purnarto
lakshitastena,
sneha prasara samputaha,
sneha prasara samputaha, kula kodina sarvango, munchani ladrasa suchaha, punarto lakshitastena, sneha prasara samputaha, ulaka udbina. Bodily changes of transcendental ecstasy. Sarva anga, every part of the body. Munchan, smearing. Milat, opening. Drishaha, by the eyes. Suchaha,
tears of grief.
Purna artaha,
complete achievement.
Lakshitaha,
thus observed.
Tena,
by Vidura.
Sneha
prasara,
extensive love.
Samplutaha,
thoroughly assimilated.
Translation and purport by Divine Guru Vaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Translation: it was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy.
and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. Purport. The symptoms of the highest order of devotional life were observed by Vidura, an experienced devotee of the Lord. And he confirmed Uddhava's perfectional stage of love of Godhead. Ecstatic bodily changes are manifested from the spiritual plane and are not artificial expressions developed by practice. There are three different stages of development in devotional service. The first stage is that of following the regulative principles prescribed in the codes of devotional service. The second stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. And the last stage is that of ecstasy symptomized by transcendental bodily expression. The nine different modes of devotional service, such as hearing, chanting, and remembering, are the beginning of the process. By regular hearing of the glories and pastimes of the Lord, the impurities in the student's heart begin to be washed off. The more one is cleansed of impurities, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. Gradually, the activities take the forms of steadiness, form faith, taste, realization, and assimilation, one after another. These different stages of gradual development increase love of God to the highest stage, and in the highest stage, there are still more symptoms. Such as affection, anger, and attachment. Gradually rising in exceptional cases to the Mahabhava stage, which is generally not possible for the living entities. All these were manifested by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personification of love of Godhead. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, the chief disciple of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these transcendental symptoms displayed by pure devotees like Uddhava are systematically described. We have written a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu entitled The Nectar of Devotion, and one may consult this book for more detailed information on the science of devotional service. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Shila Durga Upravuti Namine Shri Shri Rindatavi Vira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nubadayana Marshi Vrtave Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sanyavadi Pasata Deshatarane Hare Krishna. So, what I'll do, I'll go through back the purport in phases as we go through today's class. So, Uruva from birth was fully engaged in the Lord's service, in service and meditation, 100%. He was fully engaged. His meditation was always there. And throughout his life, it's described that he never slackened in that service. He was so absorbed in Krishna's service that even when he was a little child, his mother would call him for his meals, and sometimes he wouldn't go because his meditation was so strong, was so absorbed. So he was a pure devotee from birth, and also very advanced. But still, Krishna did something to complete his education. At that time, not long before, Krishna had established one of the first colleges, the VIHE, the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. So Krishna sent Uddhava there to learn the highest essences of devotional service. So the principals of that college, the gopis, taught him everything about the highest essences of devotional service. And thus today, in this verse, he's being addressed as having those highest of essences. So Vidura was able to immediately recognize those symptoms. Why? Because, as the saying goes, it takes one to know one, right? So, if you only know about a $100 transaction, you have no idea what the millionaire knows about a $1 million transaction. But the millionaire knows about a $1 million transaction, about a $1,000 transaction, and the $100 transaction also. So similarly, an advanced devotee like Vidura, able to understand the symptoms from the highest ecstasy coming down. So then Srila Prabhupada goes on to describe the scientific process of Krishna consciousness in this purport. So before I get into that, I want to open the floor a little bit, ask, maybe hear from different devotees, what attracted you to Krishna consciousness? Is it because of the religious sentiment? Is it because of the philosophical conclusion? Is it because of the scientific nature of Krishna consciousness? Can we hear? Can we get some answers? Anyone say? Maharaj, can you tell us what attracted you?
Devotee Association.
Okay, Devotees Association, yes. Mara, what attracted you? I know you were born a devotee anyway, but
Chaitanya Charitamrita, there Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoy Sravanadi Suddha Chite Karayudai. So our constitutional position that we are servant of Krishna, devotee of Krishna. So we have natural instinct that when a magnet come in touch with iron, the iron immediately to go. So this is Krishna consciousness there within. So it gets
just
revealed.
Just waiting for the right time to go.
Natural.
Get attractive.
some impurity covering. As well as covering is removed. Association of devotee are shown immediately natural.
The natural flow
water,
is there, so.
Water, 6 level, okay. And downward. It is quite.
Okay, so that's what attracted you. That magnet was there. Okay. So can we hear from anyone else? What are some of the reasons why Mother Marumati?
Initially, it was the philosophy that just made all sense. I had so many questions, and all were answered so perfectly. And after that initial satisfaction, then it was the association of devotees.
Okay, so anyone else? Yes? Yes, Asuna Prabhu?
My attraction was prasadam, because at that time when I joined, there was the hungry times. Okay. At the time when USSR just split, this was hardest time. But devotees in the temple, they made huge feasts. Mm-hmm. Like when I came to the temple, it was 20-30 preparations. I was in ecstasy.
Okay, good. So far, we figured a pattern. Right? That is, of everyone's explanation, there's a certain pattern that no one was just attracted by just sentiment. There was something, a very strong, in-depth conclusion that brought one to Krishna consciousness. Something that's transcendental, something that is more scientific, that can be more logically explained, that is more biologically relatable. So I also, being brought up in a society that everyone was very critical, especially if you do something that is out of the norms, people would be so critical about you. So when I saw the devotees, of course I had read the Bhagavad Gita before, but didn't put it together because I didn't know about the devotees. But so when I saw the devotees and this strange outlook, because in those days, if somebody wears anything more than a kurta, it's a really big deal. So we saw the devotees with the shaven heads and perform their activities. My first thought is that they have to have a very strong philosophical background to able to allow them to maintain their standard in such a society. So I want to learn that. What is it that is keeping them so strong to perform their activities? As I remember, I was 13 years old when I was kicked out from the Hindu temple because I was the leader of the youth group. And when I joined, I thought, let us start to practice some of what the scriptures are saying. We were reading the Ramayana and to a lesser extent some Bhagavad Gita, not Prabhupada's Gita, some other Gita. But the principles that are laid down there, we don't find them being followed. So I was trying to offer that, let's try to follow what the scripture is saying. And they said, who are you? You're trying to change us. And then, so they just kicked me out. That wasn't so very strong a practice. So I was at school, I was a debate student, and I like to argue, and also I like science. Not that I was an argumentative person. According to my wife, I still am. So anyway, but the idea is that when we look at this purport that Srila Prabhupada wrote here, show that Krishna consciousness is not a sentimental religion, it's not just another something that pops up. No, it's very scientific, it's very logical, it can be biologically proven, you can establish conclusions even by reason and logic. So here Srila Prabhupada is talking about the nine processes of devotional service and how it graduates one from one level coming up to the highest level. So Srila Prabhupada first talks about these three categories of devotional service, which is first the following regulative principles, second of assimilation and realization, and the third of the highest ecstasies. He also talked about the nine basic modes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So these nine processes, one can adopt any one or some of them or all of them and begin his devotional life and rise to the highest platform. He also talked about the nine processes of devotional service: Adau, Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, Anartha, Nivritti, then Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. So these nine processes is there, and they can be summarized in four categories of attachment, renunciation, detachment, and attachment again. So sounds a little confusing, but we'll try to go it through. So in this nine, well, let's talk about the four processes, the four summary, the four categories of attachment, renunciation, detachment, then attachment again. So as a non-devotee, or even as a new devotee, we have all the attachments for material life. So that's a stage of attachment. Then, as we learn that we should be renounced, then we start practicing renunciation in Krishna consciousness. So we start practicing that we're not this body, that whatever is here in this world doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the Lord. So we are starting to practice giving up the attachment for these things, so that's renunciation. Then the third stage, we start to practice detachment, that not only we are renounced, but we are detached in that we use whatever facilities are here, we go one step higher, that we use the facilities that are provided to us in the material world to use it in Krishna's service, not for ourselves. So there's a gulf of difference there, maybe appears to be narrow between renunciation and detachment, but there is a gulf of difference, very important differences. So the third stage, a devotee learned to use everything at his disposal in Krishna consciousness, in the Lord's service. Not only that he's not attached to them, but he doesn't let them waste. He used them for the highest purpose in Krishna's service. So that's detachment. Then the last stage of attachment, that in so using in Krishna's service, he becomes attached to the Lord. He becomes attached to devotional service. So these are the four categories in a nutshell, in a summary, that we can understand in devotional service. Again, attachment, renunciation, detachment, and attachment again. So then the nine processes of devotional service, as we just mentioned, can be categorized in these three categories that Srila Prabhupada talked about here. So the first category, and let me read what Srila Prabhupada says here. So Prabhupada says the first stage is that of following the regulative principles prescribed in the codes of devotional service. So here we can put the three first stages of devotional service in this category of Adau, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, and Bhajana Kriya. So your initial faith in the process, then you starting to take association of devotees, as Mother Madamati was saying, You know, you take association of the devotees, and then under an able guidance of the devotees and a spiritual master, one starts practicing bhajana kriya. So these three categories, these three, four stages can fall in this category of devotional service, of Vaidhi Bhakti, regulated devotional service, under the guidance of authorities. So that's the first stage. The second stage, Srila Prabhupada says, the second stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. So then we can, we can put the next three stages of development in Krishna consciousness in this category. The stage of anartha nivritti, nishta, and ruchi. So anartha nivritti is the clearing stage where one starts to, as one chants, as Srila Prabhupada described later in the purport here, as one practices, then he becomes purified. And the anartha starts leaving our unwanted activities or unwanted attachments are going away. And as that goes away, then purity comes about, is being replaced. So our activities is like a full cup. The cup would always be filled. It's either filled with air, and if you pour water in it, whatever percentage of water you put in, that's that much air comes out and something better, water gets in. If you take it out and you put something solid, then the water automatically pours out. But at every stage, it's always full. So like that, devotional service is like that. If we actually come back, start reducing our practice, then it's like taking out the good stuff and putting back air and water into our cup. And if we hold on to that, then we can gradually starts going back down. Our cup would still be filled, but it would start getting filled up again with anarthas, unwanted things. So in Krishna Leela, our acharyas describe when the significance, one significance of the pastimes of Vasudev, Krishna's father, bringing back, after he took Krishna across, then he brought back Maya Devi to be replaced and bring her back into the jail cell of Kamsa. So our acharyas describe that here one has Krishna, and then they send Krishna away. We give up Krishna for some time, we give Krishna up, and we accept Maya. But even though we accept Maya, like when Vasudev came back into the jail cell, all the shackles, all the gates, everything was still open. Nothing was closed. So Krishna consciousness is like that. Like if we're in Krishna consciousness and then we give up Krishna consciousness for some reason or accepting some Maya, Krishna would still leave the proper gates open so we can turn back. But if we hold on to Maya, then the acharyas describe that's when Vasudev brought back the little child, the girl child, Maya Devi. And then he personally went and closed back all the gates and put back the shackles on his wrists and his hands and legs. So he personally tied himself back up. At that stage, it's very difficult to get free again. So our acharyas described that if we accept Maya for a little bit, we have a little fall down, it's okay, because Krishna will still keep the doors open. But if you hold on to Maya, you hold on to those, it's like you tying yourself back up, you're closing those doors, you're shackling yourself. So Krishna consciousness can be described in this way also, so that as we were getting this stage of anartha nivritti, then we start accepting, we're getting the taste for Krishna consciousness. Then we get, we actually, anartha nivritti, then nishta, then ruchi. So we start getting the clearing stage of devotional service, and after that, we go down, we start becoming steady. And that's what Srila Prabhupada talked about here. And for one to be steady, one intelligence has to become strong. that you have to be able to analyze what you're doing. That's why Srila Prabhupada said we should be studying his books every day. If not, after some time we were thinking, well, what am I doing here? You know, everybody else is enjoying going and working 25 hours a day, trying to achieve material life, then I can do the same. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, we should be studying every day so we understand, we have a strong philosophical background as to why we are performing these activities of devotional service. So again, it's a science, so we have to adopt it. So anyway, after the clearing stage, then one gets nishta, one becomes steady. So to become steady, we have to be able to assimilate our activities, understand why we are performing what we are performing. We have to be steady, we have to have some realization, we have to be able to explain to someone else why we're not doing what they are doing. I mean, I'm pretty sure every one of us had that experience. People ask us, why are you doing this? You know, why are you shaving your head? Why are you wearing this kind of clothes? We never ask them why they're wearing their type of clothing, but they're asking us. You know, we don't ask them why they're having long hair, but they ask us why do we shave our heads? You know, so this is the way Maya functions. So to be steady, nishta, then we have to have this second stage which Srila Prabhupada talked about. So these three, anartha nivritti, nishta, and ruchi, the taste. So for us to maintain, we have to have something to attract us. So not only the strong philosophical knowledge, but what Vyasasuna was saying, the taste, that prasadam, that taste, that's one form. That one form of ruchi, the taste of prasadam. How many of us were attracted to prasadam? I was attracted, but I can put up all four of my hands if I had four. Yeah, so that's one of the first things. And I remember the first time I took prasadam, I criticized the devotees. You said you're vegetarian, but look, you had meat in here. That's the cord. I never had that before. And I was convinced that that had to be something with, you know, even my nephew, when I gave him, he said, oh, you guys are cheating. This is meat. He was Christian. So it took me about 5 days to show him. I had to have my mother make it and show him that this is milk and you make it in this form and this is what you're eating here. And then he became convinced that we weren't eating meat. So anyway, the taste. So the taste has to be there. So these three, anartha nivritti, nishta, and ruchi, constitutes the second stage of assimilation and realization. Then Srila Prabhupada went on to talk about a third stage, and the last stage is that of ecstasy symptomized by transcendental bodily expression. So, which the last three stages of devotional service as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, is the asakti, which is attachment, we talked about that, bhava and prema. So asakti is one becomes attached, not it becomes attached to Krishna's service. One becomes attached to devotional service. That's called asakti. And why one becomes attached? Because they got a higher taste, they got a taste. So then after that, then there's bhava, and Srila Prabhupada talks about mahabhava, which another word for that is prema. So asakti, bhava, and mahabhava, or prema, being the last stage. And that is vividly demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the last few chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Ancha Leela. Was all about Lord Chaitanya's highest level of ecstasy, which is described as transcendental madness, which for a lot of people, they can term it as madness. But again, we have our strong philosophical understanding, and we have people like Vidura around who can understand that this is not madness, but this is the highest level of spiritual ecstasies that one is able to portray. So in Lord Chaitanya's case, he had these devotees, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, and Govinda, that they were always with Lord Chaitanya. And they are able to understand at every moment what Lord Chaitanya was going through, all the expressions of his ecstasies, all these expressions that Srimati Radharani was expressing. Lord Chaitanya was doing the same. We have Radhashtami coming up. It's a nice time to meditate on these activities of this highest level of education, this highest level of understanding of Krishna consciousness. So these nine processes can be categorized in these three processes that Srila Prabhupada describes here in this purport. And again, from any one of these, the nine base modes, as Srila Prabhupada describes it, of Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, like that, that any of those or a combination of those we can use to bring us from the very base level all the way up in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is a very, very scientific process. I remember after reading, before I met the devotees, I read the Bhagavad Gita, the softbound. Then after I met the devotees, the first book I read was Science of Self-Realization. And that's what really locked me in, because being like a science student at school, I was always like in that mood of wanting to analyze things, wanting to see things, wanting to understand how elements work. And then the other one was the higher taste, that describe how our body functions, our biological composition. And that's further convinced me that as a human being, this is what we should do. So I wasn't so much attracted to the sentiment of the outward presentation. I was more attracted to the philosophical conclusions, the scientific reasoning for what we're doing, and from logic and arguments that one can present to accept and understand and live this sort of a life that makes total sense. Especially when we talked about replacing our activities with Krishna conscious activities, not meaning that we don't necessarily give up our occupation, but we divert our activities in Krishna consciousness. Whatever we're doing, we dovetail those in spiritual life. So that's what another thing that was really, really convincing. That we are living like everybody else, we are practicing, we have our job, we have our family, we have so many different things that we are taking care of in the material world. But we also add this higher taste. Srila Prabhupada described that all these activities in the material world, they are different zeros. But when we put Krishna in front, all these zeros, amongst the zero anyway, it has no value. When we put one in front, then all those zeros becomes valuable. So putting the one in front is putting Krishna in front of our activities. So Srila Prabhupada again talks about a student that as sadhakas, we have to continue reading and hearing every day. Just this morning I was discussing with my daughter. She's saying, well, when she first reads something, suddenly she forget it. I said, I'm the same thing. When I read the second time, I said, I don't remember reading this the first time, because we grab something more. And as we keep going, then we accept more and more. So the learning process is like that. The purification process is like that. Like there's this one story of this one lady going to the river and trying to bring a basket of water. It always appears to be empty. The basket is always empty. But at the end of her practice, what happened? The basket became clean. By constantly endeavoring, constantly trying to do this service, then we become purified. So this is the whole process. This is how the purification process works, of consistency, daily practice, repeated practice. It might appear to be monotonous, but by constant practice, the devotee finds that every day he learns a little more. Every day he becomes a little more attracted. Every day the taste becomes stronger. And that's what is keeping us in devotional service. So there are a lot more here, but in the essence of time, we'll stop. And if anyone has any questions, Mother Ragatmika, our hands went up before I could say. So.
I really appreciate how you correlated the three stages that Srila Prabhupada speaks of in the purport to the...
Nine processes.
Well, not the nine processes, but the, you know, starting with Shraddha.
Yeah.
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 That was very nice. However, when you spoke of attachment, renunciation, detachment, and attachment, where do we find that sequence spelled out like that?
Some of our acharyas, no, I never heard Srila Prabhupada talk about that, but some of our acharyas describe like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Can we say renunciation stage is where we take on the regulative principles then?
Yes.
Is that what?
Yeah, yeah. It's like
happening?
We can say like the end stage of taking on the regulative principles. The beginning stage of taking on the religious principles is the attachment stage, because we are fully attached, we are fully absorbing material life, and then by our good fortune, we got in touch with some initial faith, we got in touch with the devotees. So then we start practicing regulative principles, but still with a lot of attachment. Mm. Then we become, as we learn, then we start to become renounced. But we're still in sadhana bhakti, we're still practicing the vaidhi bhakti. So then we're starting to take on renunciation from there. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Trivikram Prabhu?
So you said the process can be explained biologically. Let us say someone asks you to prove the existence of the soul biologically. I mean, how would you go about doing that?
It's a long scientific process, and maybe, I hope you heard me correctly. I didn't say that I can explain it biologically. I said it can be explained biologically. So anyway, yes, it's a long explanation, because it goes into understand that there are symptoms. Like, for example, the difference between a live body and a dead body. What's the difference? It's the same flesh and blood and bone, everything is still there, but one has the ability to move and manipulate and think and do everything, and whilst the others is not. The one that is alive, we're all attached to it. How many times have you went to a funeral and you hear so much people crying, they're so attached to my mother, my father, and their whole life they do so much, and as soon as the soul leaves, get rid of him. Try to cremate, try to bury, and try to get rid of that body. So that's one way you can understand that, yes, there is something else there that for the materialist it's beyond their explanation. So the devotees are explaining that according to scripture, according to our philosophical understanding, that biological difference is the presence of the soul, what we call the soul, the Atma, that brings about the mobilization of dead matter. So that's one way. There are many other ways, many like scientific ways that can be explained, like even within every atom, or sometimes you have bodies just form just because the presence of the soul is there. For example, if you have rice for a while, all of a sudden it gets weevils and different entities start getting in there. Because the souls are ever existing all over, then at different time upon ripe moments, then they are biological formations, their bodies form and they activate. So maybe there are many more ways. It's going to take a lot of time. You have anything to add to that?
Well, the soul is imperceptible by the senses or the or any kind of instrument. So in that sense, it's difficult to perceive. But the challenge can go to the scientists. Well, you're saying that these elements make up life. Well, let me give you the elements and you try to create life.
That's exactly what I was saying. The elements are there in way, maybe in raw form of earth, water, air, fire, ether, or it can be combined in the form of a body, whether an animal body or a man body or whatever. But put the two together, take that immobile composition and make it mobile, make it active. That they cannot do. So scripture explained that's the presence of the soul that does that. So anyway, anything else? So I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.